Howdy, y'all. Welcome to the Ears Podcast, hosted by Terrier TV. Awesome to be here. Mr. Curtis, how are you doing?
It's good to have you guys back.
Yeah.
We're doing well.
Cindy, how are you?
I am wonderful, and I am so excited.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't want to get too excited. I'm afraid to even look over there right now because I'm going to get like super excited and start jumping into things before I should. So, anything good going on with you guys this week? Anything exciting? There has to be something exciting.
No, actually.
Nothing exciting?
It's the end of the term for school.
Okay.
So it's the end of the term, so we're getting ready to do grades. Because we're on block scheduling, so we do every 4.5 weeks.
I was going to say, the year just started. It's already the end of a...
Yeah. It's the end of the first term, which is just 4.5 weeks.
How many terms are there in a...
There are 8 terms. 2 terms and a quarter.
That's a lot.
No, I take it back. 8 terms in a year. There's only 4 for this half.
So four and a half weeks.
So this Friday, this semester is 25% over.
That was fast.
Oh, it is. Very fast. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm trying to wrap my head around that. That's a lot. Cindy, what about you? What's going on with you?
Oh, you know, just another day in paradise.
Paradise.
It's,
yeah.
It's our busy time. Every time is our busy time, but it's definitely our busy time of year in social services. So I feel like there's no possible way it's already been a week since we talked last.
I'm feeling old because things are going super, super quick. Is it busier this time of the year because of the holidays, just getting past the holidays, kind of like a down after the holidays or what?
You know, I think it has a lot to do with New Year's resolutions.
That makes a lot of sense.
People try a lot, I think, during the holidays to try and put on that facade and pretend that life is good and everything's going to get better and this relationship will work itself out. And then the new year comes and those resolutions happen and people say, you know what? Not another year of my life like this.
God bless them. If they need to make a change, I'm glad they're making a change. That's good. Yeah, on my front, it was cold and quiet. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of reptile things to do when it's freezing cold outside. And that was the coldest it's been in 5 years.
Yeah, did we actually officially get a freeze?
Yeah, it was 28 degrees in Port St. John.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the coldest temperature in Brevard in 5 years. Is it four? Yeah, 4 or 5 years. 5 years. I'm going to stick with 5 years.
I think you're right.
Yeah, something like that. It was very cold. When my toes get cold and I can't wear flip-flops, I'm grumpy Frank.
I know. I noticed the boots today.
Yeah, so... That's the whole thing too. I apologize for not wearing shoes last week. I didn't quite realize, I guess, that everybody could see my toes, and yeah, my toes were there. Those were my backup fingers. You know, if something was to happen to my fingers, those toes are my backup fingers. That's an ongoing family joke. So yeah, I apologize for my feet looking at you guys that hard. That should have never happened. And super thanks for Stella being on here last week. She's a brilliant lady. Man, she's got a lot of stuff going on, and it was very, very, very nice talking to her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she did a great job.
All right, so I guess we'll get into our guest. This is something super exciting for me. I've been wanting to ask this lady questions about her profession and what she does for so long and kind of put out to you guys the amazing work she does, which is... It's a lot. She does a lot of things. Anyhow.
I have been stalking her bio since you sent it to me. I think I've tried to look up every paper I've seen that she's published. I just keep going, oh my God, she's amazing.
Yes. Your brain will hurt even trying to comprehend the whole thing. Yes, for sure. Miss Megan Stolen, thank you for being here.
Hi.
With the Otter Spotters.
Nice to be here.
So tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
So, where do I start? I'm a research scientist and director of Hub SeaWorld Research Institute in Melbourne Beach, so South Brevard. I do a lot of stuff. I mostly work on marine mammals, but now I have to use the word aquatic instead of marine because I'm working on otters now, and technically they're not a marine species. So I have to say aquatic animal biologist now.
It sounds cool.
And I am starting to tell people, too, that I'm a forensic scientist as well. I went back to school later in life here and graduated with another master's degree in wildlife forensic science. So I guess I'm allowed to say that I'm a wildlife forensic scientist as well.
That is amazing.
So I spend a lot of time working on human-wildlife interactions, human-wildlife conflict, a lot of stuff that you're familiar with, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So animals not getting along with people, people not getting along with animals. And unfortunately, most of the animals that we see are dead because of that conflict. But we also work on animals that die from infectious disease and toxins and all kinds of stuff. So I spend a lot of time working with dead animals.
It happens.
So we kind of explain it as sort of a CSI of the sea. That's what we do.
Okay. Where did you get your start?
Oh, boy.
Start us from the beginning. Where'd you get your start?
Oh, no. Wow. Well, when I was a little kid, I had, my dad was really into animals. We had kind of a zoo at our house. We kept animals that most people didn't keep. So my dad had, you know, snakes in the bathtub, and my brother always had turtles. I always had some kind of rodent. At one point, I kept a cockroach as a pet.
I
love
did
it.
Not expect that.
So I always loved animals, loved dogs, but I didn't think it was really a career at all. You know, only special people got to work with animals as a career, and I didn't really think of myself that way, and I didn't think of myself as being sciencey at all. Never really excelled in science, didn't really have a good science background, didn't love science in high school. I was a theater brat, theater
okay.
major kind of person. And ended up going to community college, still not knowing what I was going to do, but decided I would find it there. And I graduated and still didn't find it. So I was working at a bank and thought, you know, maybe I'd just go into business or something like that. And I was a teller at the bank, and I was robbed at gunpoint. And it was very surreal, very much like a movie. So the guys told us to, you know, get on the floor, put our face on the floor and not look up. So when I was laying on the carpet, worried and a little freaked out, I had sort of a weird epiphany that I wasn't gonna spend the rest of my life working at a bank.
There, you had bigger plans.
I thought if, and this is, some people have heard this story and it sounds really cheesy, but I like to tell it because I think it's hard to know what you want to do until you know what you want to do. And I knew right then and there that I didn't want to die at work being a bank teller. I felt like that wasn't going to be my way to go out. So I decided if I wanted to die at work, how would I do that? And my answer was, you know, falling off a cliff, or, you know, getting eaten by a crocodile, or
just jam up.
You know, I wanted some dramatic way that meant something. So
I like it.
I know it's messed up.
No, it's not.
I was very young, so I you know, I'd probably make better decisions now. But
I'm hearing this and I'm falling like more in love with you. Like, this is the best way to make a decision. I've got a new life plan now.
Yeah, like literally put a gun to your head and decide what you want to be. So I decided, okay, what did I want to do? And I thought, you know, what did I love? And I thought, well, I love animals. I've always loved animals. So why don't I just do something with animals? And I was a little naive because, again, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I had no idea how much school would be involved or anything. But that was kind of cool because it was like, I just want to work on animals and I'm just going to do it.
Just figure it out as you go.
Yeah, you can just go work on animals if you want to. So I went back to school. I quit the job, quit the bank.
Yeah, rightfully so at that point, sounds like.
Yeah. And I went back to school and decided to get a degree in zoology. And I wanted to be Jane Goodall. That was my dream and still is. And
where'd you go to school for that?
I went to UCF.
Okay.
And got a degree in zoology or biology there with a bunch of really cool, amazing teachers. My mentor there was Dr. Lou Earhart, who works on sea turtles in Brevard County, who's, you know, world famous. And I thought, well, I just want to work on sea turtles. And it was very competitive, but I didn't realize that. So I walked into his office and said, I want to work for you. And he asked me what my name was, and I told him, and it reminded him of somebody he knew. So based on that, he let me work for him.
How awesome is that?
And to be honest, there weren't that many girls involved in it at the time. So I think it wasn't that he wasn't open to that. It was just sort of the nature of the business. It was really physical and hard work and stuff. And so I think, you know, some young women kind of shy away from that. And they see that they don't see themselves in that place. Anyway, I decided I was going to do that. So
it's funny you say that, because some of the most, at one point in history, there was a time where there weren't a whole lot of women in the science world, mm-hmm. and it was very hard for women to get into it. And I dare to say a handful of the most powerful people I know in the science world and respect more than anybody else are women, and they are just, they're powerhouses, and you're right there with them.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
For sure.
Well, we don't quit. You know,
no
women
joke.
Women don't quit. And we have a stomach, I think, for some things that only we have stomachs for.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
So yeah, I worked on sea turtles for a while. I got my undergrad degree. I won't say it was easy, because it was hard, because I hadn't done any of that science stuff ahead of time. Didn't know the math, didn't know the chemistry, didn't know biology. But I just decided this is what I'm going to do. So I'm just going to do it. And I did it. And then I graduated, didn't really want to get a job. I mean, I had a job sort of, but I thought if I graduate, I have to get a real job. So I went to graduate school.
Because I tried to explain to my children, that's the way it works.
Yeah.
You graduate and then you get a
job. Yes. The harder, the being in school is wonderful, because then you don't always have to have a job. Which is funny, because I tell kids that the same thing. They're like, I hate being in school. And I'm like, yeah, but if you're not in school, you have to get a job. I had a job working for SeaWorld. They hired me, and I did my graduate work there and really just fell into it. I wasn't into marine mammals at all. I mean, most of the stories of the women that I know, start out with, I always wanted to work on dolphins, or I always wanted to be working with killer whales or something.
Right. Yeah.
No, I didn't care about marine whales necessarily. You couldn't keep them in your bathtub. And so why?
So you were still trying to figure it out at that point.
Why have them? Yeah. I mean, I'd much rather like have a mouse or something. but anyway, it was a job. So I started working for them. And then of course I fell in love with marine mammals and finished my master's and fell into a nonprofit job and just kind of worked my way up through the system. And like I said, a lot of what I do is dead animal autopsies. They're called necropsies. And there's kind of a niche, because there's not a lot of people that want to do that.
It's true. Yep.
And hence the stomach for it. I don't think I have a very good sense of smell, so that helps. And
you know you're in trouble when you start getting used to that smell and it doesn't bother you anymore. You're
it
like,
doesn't.
Yep. Like, it,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I don't smell it. And so, yeah, it actually causes a problem now in my life, because I don't smell the smell that everybody else smells around me.
It's interesting you say that, because there's a lot of times where I have the same issues where some people will just be freaked out by a smell and I'm like,
yeah,
guys, that's nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
I've smelled 1,000 times worse than that. That's nothing. My eyes aren't even watering yet. I'm perfectly fine.
I just have to be careful about where I go when I'm, smelling that bad.
Yeah.
Because you think you're fine and you're not fine, and you realize that later. Anyway, that's off topic.
It's very on topic. It's good.
So 25 something years later, I'm still doing what I'm doing. Yeah.
So what's the goal of the Otter Spotters? What are you all trying to accomplish?
So Otter Spotters is a citizen science organization that I formed really to try to get a better handle on what is going on with otters in this area. We have one species. It's called a North American river otter. A lot of people call them sea otters. It's different species. But they're all over the place. They're in your backyard. They're in the Indian River Lagoon. They're in ditches. They're everywhere. They're very well adapted to humans. Or I shouldn't say humans, to human habitat.
Okay.
They're not adapted to humans. You do not want to get near.
They can be pretty standoffish, can they not?
Yeah. And so because I was studying whales and dolphins, mostly dolphins in the Indian River Lagoon, and the dolphins are not in good shape at all. They're really in trouble. We thought we would start studying otters too, just to see what is happening with them. Can we use them sort of as a canary in the coal mine to understand the Indian River Lagoon? And I thought somebody was working on them, and nobody was. So
you're doing a lot of the same ecotox stuff that mm-hmm. we do with alligators, but with otters.
Yeah. So I'm kind of a weirdo too, because most this whole show is about me being a weirdo.
No, I'm sorry. Hey. I'm a giant weirdo too, if you're a weirdo, because I'm doing the same, say a lot of the same stuff. So you're not a weirdo, I promise. I know some weirdos, and that nobody's in this room. We're all good.
Well, I don't mind being a weirdo. It's okay. So otters are very cryptic. They're really hard to find. They're really hard to get your hands on. It's good for them, right? But they're hard to see, and they're even harder to catch. And it's dangerous for them. It's dangerous for the person catching them. And we don't always have to have hands-on animals to understand them. And it's sort of the new wave of the future, I'll say, is trying to find non-invasive ways to study wildlife. Because I'm afraid of otters, I don't want to catch them. I don't want to get bit.
It's hard for people to understand what a serious little pile of teeth and claws they really are. I mean, you have a mammal that can butcher an alligator as it pleases. That's a pretty serious critter. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say, and you know, all the years I've been working with wildlife, otters are probably the one species that, you know, before I met you, if it was something that we'd see on the side of the road hit by a car or anything was wrong with one, we would stop purposely, because it's just such a sentinel being, you know. You just get a different feel from an otter. We would always stop and make a spot for them way off the road and try to give them that decency and that respect they deserve. Aww. Because they're just, it's such a unique and a really special animal. If you spend any time around them and you watch them do their things, you can't help but to love them. They're something else.
Now, hold on a second. You said that an otter can kill an alligator?
Indeed. Yeah.
I had no idea.
You ever see those videos of jaguars catching caiman, where they grab them by the back of the neck and they go across the river with them? Otters do the same thing. They'll grab a gator by the back of the neck and they'll pill him like a banana. Yeah. They're a powerful animal.
Bigger animal. You know, not just smaller alligators, but larger alligators, larger than them.
Yeah, there now, was a video of an otter somewhere. I want to say it was in Georgia at one of the wildlife preserves, catching like a 5.5-foot gator and just carrying it off in the marsh like he was a boss. You know, like had it by the back of the neck, almost like he's throwing his stuff over his shoulder and going home with his dinner.
So it's for, yeah, it's food.
Yeah.
They eat them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have never thought that. Never.
They are.
I think I finally figured out what my spirit animal is.
That's not a bad one to have. I mean, they're bosses.
They are. Yeah.
So do you guys study more than just otters? What you said, you're looking at dolphins and other marine mm-hmm. mammals, but what, so the otter spotters, what else are you guys looking at?
Yeah. So otter spotters, is sort of a offshoot of the whale and dolphin stuff we do. So whales and dolphins, when they wash up on the beach, most of the time they're dead. So we do the necropsy of those, to find out why they died and how old they were and what they were eating and all of that good stuff. And see if there's a human cause for the death. And so we've been doing that for a long time. And then with otters, it's kind of the same thing. So like you said, if an animal gets hit by a car, I'll go pick it up. So I'm a roadkill girl?
That's
gal.
I think we first met whenever you were working for Fish and Wildlife.
Yes.
With, I forget what it even was. Well, I forget.
Yeah, yeah. I think you had an order for me. I don't remember who told you about me.
No, but I'd seen you at one of the programs at the Enchanted Forest.
Uh-huh.
I had either done a program before you or after you. And I secretly hung around in a corner and was like, this lady's freaking awesome. I'm like, man, she's working with otters. Like, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard of. So, you know, I kind of took it all in at that point. And yeah, I think every otter I've found ever since then, I've called you and kept.
Yeah, you're a good spotter.
It's not, you know, I want to say when I was a kid, it was more common to see otters. Are they on the serious decline here in Brevard?
Nobody knows. That's the big question. So nobody knows how many otters are here. We don't even know how many otters are in Florida.
Wow.
That's one of the reasons I started working on it, was because we really don't know. And they're still, you can still hunt them and trap them in Florida.
Why would that be the case? If we don't know how many there are, why are we still allowing hunting?
Interesting question.
Is that because there's money involved? Is that what?
I don't think there's that much money involved, because the reason they're hunted and trapped is mostly for their fur. It's for the fur trade, and at least in America, the fur trade is sort of on the decline because most Americans don't really have a taste for that anymore, for fur clothing. So most of the otters that are killed, the fur goes overseas. So there is still the small group of people that still do it.
Is that something we should be concerned with? If we don't know how many of them there are, should we be concerned that hunting is still allowed of them?
Normally, I would say yes, very much so. But I don't think there are that many people taking otters anymore. Like I said, it's more of a small group of people that it's sort of been passed down in their family, and they still do it for sort of that cultural reason.
I don't get that one,
but
that's just me. I guess I can't wrap my head around that.
There aren't a lot of them being hunted, but I do think, you know, as a wildlife biologist, you know, if you're going to have a take of any species, you need to know how many there are.
You should definitely have a count. That's that way with anything else, you know, birds or other mammals or alligators even, you know what I mean? It's that way with every other species. That's a bizarre one to me.
Yeah.
That's a bizarre one to me. Are you guys looking at any toxins in any of these things? Are you doing any liver and kidney sampling? Mm-hmm. And if so, what kind of stuff are you finding?
Yeah. So, with otters specifically, we've looked at mercury levels in them, because the mercury levels in the wild bottlenose dolphins in the lagoon is like sky high. We're one of the highest, we have one of the highest concentrations of mercury in any bottlenose dolphin, any dolphin really in the United States.
Have you guys seen any type of seasonality when you're in your mercury testing? Have you seen season playing into that at all?
No, because it bioaccumulates in their system. Right. So it's building up in their system.
Okay.
With otters, that might be a possibility. But when I did a little bit of sampling on otters, and the mercury doesn't seem to be too bad in them. But again, they're not long-lived species like dolphins. You know, dolphins live to be 50.
How long does an otter live?
Not very long. their old age for an otter in the wild is 8. In a captive situation in a zoo, they live longer, but it's dangerous to be an otter in the wild. So they don't live very long. The ones that we pick up on the road, I get their canine teeth, and you can look at the canine teeth to determine how old they are. And when we did that with the animals that we've picked up, we found out that most of those animals that are hit by cars are less than 2 years of age. So
there are a bunch of youngins. They are reproducing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys, through all this, been able to figure out centralized locations where you think there's big groups of them?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. So part of the Otter Spotter program, the citizen science part of it, is not just dead otters. We do live stuff too every once in a while. And so when people see otters, not sea otters, but when people see
Oh, that was
otters,
a trick. Yeah, I like what you did there. That was good.
See? When they spot otters, They let me know. So there's an online reporting form. They fill it out. They say, this is how many I saw. This is what they were doing. This is where they were.
What's your website for that?
It's, you can go on our website, which is www.hswri or Hub SeaWorld Research Institute. Hit, okay. Indian River Lagoon Otters. We're also on Facebook.
It's just Otter Spotters there.
Otters,
on Facebook,
IRL,
right?
Otter. If you type in IRL Otter Spotters, you'll find me. And so the people fill out the form, and based on that, I know where the otters are. I mean, that's somewhat biased, because if there's not people there to see the otters, then you're not going to have the Otter Spotters forms. So, so it's a little biased, but
is that the best way the public can help right now, is by doing that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Calling you guys if they see a road hit otter, or if they spot an otter in general?
Yes.
Do you encourage a picture or no?
If it's safe. Yeah. If it's,
So tell us more about that, please.
So if it's a live otter, I do encourage a picture, because it helps me figure out for sure that it's an otter. I mean, every once in a while, most people know what an otter looks like, but every once in a while, you can mistake something like a raccoon or a small child or something.
I've been on many a gator call and had people tell me about the panthers that live in their yard.
Yeah.
And then those bee pigs. So yeah, I've seen plenty of craziness to know that that's very likely, yes.
Most of the otters that we get reported wrongly, well, they call them seals. You know, I saw a seal in my backyard, and that's usually an otter.
Are they related?
No, not at
two,
all.
Two way different things, huh?
Yeah, I mean, no. Mm-mm, they're not even in the same general.
I didn't know. Like, my knowledge on otters is so small. I've been a huge fan for so long, but like I said, I've got so many questions. But
otters are related to skunks and weasels. And
so they're a varmint, kind of, sorta. I mean,
I'm leaving.
Those are fighting words.
No, you know what I'm saying, though, right? Don't they consider a weasel a varmint? Don't some people consider that a varmint?
What's a varmint?
I don't know. It's supposed to be.
It definitely has a negative connotation.
It's like in the cartoons.
Oh, I didn't mean it like that. I think
in the cartoons, it's bad to be a varmint.
Do they do damage to people's property? I think that's what a varmint's considered. It's like a
nuisance.
Yeah, I mean, I can't understand how that would be. How would one be? I don't know.
I don't even know. They're bad. They're bad little creatures.
Are they really?
They will do damage. Sure.
How so?
They get into people's swimming pools.
That'd be the coolest thing ever, to walk on the backyard and have an otter playing.
Yeah, except they poop a lot. Like every 2 hours. Constant. They eat. They have to eat and they have to poop every couple hours.
Varmint's not sounding that bad.
And then if they get in your screen porch, that's really bad too. And if you have really nice lanai furniture, like say a white lanai couch, that's not what you want.
This sounds like something that you've experienced.
Yeah. And then if you have koi or any kind of pond in your backyard,
they'll butcher everything.
They will eat all of it.
It's like a smorgasbord waiting to happen.
They will eat every last bit of it.
Mm-hmm. So how much do they eat per day? They eat a lot.
They eat a lot. Yeah, they have.
I mean, it's a lot of energy to keep up, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's a lot of things going on there.
Yeah, they have one of the highest metabolisms of mammals in the United States. So they have to eat constantly. They don't fully digest their food, so they just kind of eat and take what they can, and then the rest comes out the other end.
So is there, what's the correct way to answer this or ask
Never
this?
Never going to be asked back again.
No, that's not true.
I'm just picturing the swimming pool, that's all.
Yeah, it's bad. It's ugly, yeah.
I think it sounds pretty amazing. So are there any types of things that keep an otter from being in the brackish water versus the salt water? I mean, are they able to excrete the salt? Do they still have to have freshwater outfalls like an alligator? How does that all work?
They do. They have to drink fresh water. They have to.
So do you find less of them in the brackish water and in the salt marsh areas then because of that?
Again, we don't know exactly where they are. We know they're in the Indian River Lagoon, but they have to have a freshwater source to drink and also to wash their fur, because their fur is important. If they get too much salt caked into their fur, they can die from that. So they have to be able to not just drink the water, but actually get into the water, which is why they go in people's swimming pools.
They're basically the mammal version of an alligator. That's what this is sounding like.
Yeah, they are. Pretty neat. They're so, yeah, they're very similar. Yep.
Okay, you guys ask some questions because I'm going to just keep going. So I'm sure you guys have some things.
I didn't want to talk over him. We've talked about poop. Well, we didn't talk about the poop dance.
Dance? Yes, oh, well, here we go.
Yes, tell me about this. Yes.
So otters.
Pull it together, Frank. Okay, I'm good.
Otters poop in.
I'm writing this down.
General areas. They have a latrine, so they don't just they'll poop where they need to go, but they also, like us, they have an area that's really the preferred spot.
That's a sign of intelligence, is it not? I mean, typically when animals do that, you use the same spot over and over
again. Yeah, I mean, it's their social hub, right? Okay. So it's like the disco for the otters.
That's awesome.
So this is an important part of the otter community.
It's the most important part of the otter community.
This is one of the things you guys look for, then, I would assume. Okay.
Yeah, so the latrine is where the neighborhood otters all go to poop. And otters are solitary species. I shouldn't say all otters. I'm talking about North American river otters now. They're solitary. They don't have distinct territories. They just avoid each other, which I think is awesome.
I do respect that.
Exactly. That's the way to live your life. Just avoid people, get together once in a while. And so they have these areas that's like the social hub. So they get together, they poop there. And then they can signal off each other. So another otter will come and get the signal from that, the feces, and figure out if there's a guy, a male around that's receptive, if a female's around receptive, if the male that was there before them is older and more, scary, they'll know to kind of move on to go somewhere else. So they get all of their social information from that area.
So do you guys go to those kind of areas and take like DNA sampling to see how many different otters are in an area?
I would love to, but I can't find them. I can't find the latrine sites.
I mean, how would that raises so many questions, but if you could, mm-hmm. technically speaking, if that's what the, mm-hmm. if they're using them that way and you could find that spot, you could do a DNA sample of that area and see how many different otters hang out there.
Right. I should say I have found some because they're on people's back docks. So if they're coming up on somebody's dock and doing this latrine thing, then I'll sometimes hear about it. I know a couple people. I got a couple guys and women.
Neat.
I don't like to advertise where those spots are because I'm trying to protect the otters. A lot of people don't want them on their back docks and stuff. Anyway, so I do have some poop samples from those areas.
Have you guys analyzed any of that to see what's going on?
No, just because I don't have funding.
Okay.
So my life is about collecting samples and waiting for funding.
Right.
That's what I do.
I understand that very well.
But the poop dance, you're trying to avoid the poop dance.
No, ma'am. I'm sorry. I just got distracted by the latrine
thing. I'm just wondering if there's going to be maybe a demonstration.
Normally I do. When I give my otter spotter talks and training, I do the otter spotter dance.
Maybe give us a puppet example on the table.
So it's a way of them communicating as well. So they don't just poop, but they'll when other otters are around, even kind of solitary sometimes, they'll do this little dance that goes along with it. It's kind of like if you think about like a bird courtship dance, it's kind of like that. So they raise up their they raise up their hind end, and they kind of do this with their front feet and their back feet, and then they kind of twerk with their back end at the same time.
They have some dogs do the same thing. Some dogs have a way they mm-hmm. go about their business every single time. Hey.
I think twerking.
Sorry.
When you said twerking.
That's when you lost Cindy.
Cindy just, that was it. She couldn't take it.
If you Google it, which again, when I give my otter spotter training, I say, just go home, write in otter poop dance and you'll get 1,000
writing that
hits
one down.
On that. Yeah. It's really funny. They do it in the wild, but they also do it in zoos and stuff. And so if you get one where there's like a zoo example of this, there's some good commentary that goes with it, whoever's like filming it.
That is pretty awesome. So being wintertime, do our otters hibernate?
No, they don't hibernate.
Okay, no hibernation. No. Does cold or heat affect them differently? I mean, are they more active in the cold months or the hot months?
Yeah, so right now is actually breeding season. So the males move around a lot more. They're looking for females. So between December and March is reproductive season. So the males move around, the females probably move around a little bit extra, but they're kind of staying in their area and waiting for the males to find them.
Do they make a den or something for that, or how do they go about that?
Yeah, so they don't make their own den like we think of, like with a bear. They don't form it themselves, but they'll find an area that's suitable. So like an old tree that's been knocked down or some brush, they'll kind of say, oh, that looks like that's a good spot.
So not in the water, but actually above water level.
Yeah, above water. Yeah. And if they have their kits, so they have natal holes.
Kits. They're called kits?
Yeah, or pups. Kits,
okay.
Kits
I didn't know that. So yeah. That's good too. That was one of my many questions.
Babies. They have their babies. The babies, if it's a natal holt, they'll usually take them a little bit further from water. So they'll kind of put them more upland and put the kids in there.
And how long do the kids hang around with mom?
They are with her for about a year. They wean at about a couple of months. So they stay inside. They're born kind of like a bear. They're very, very small. Their eyes are closed. They have no control over themselves whatsoever. And mom does everything for them. And then gradually, you know, their eyes open and they start to come out of the natal den. And then they'll kind of, you know, feel their way around. Mom has to teach them to swim. They're not natural swimmers at all. She has to, if you Google it, you'll see moms like pulling their babies into the water against their baby's will, teaching them how to swim. And then they'll stay with their mom, learning how to be a proper otter, you know, for about 9 months or a year.
Do you ever see any situations where the family group stays together longer than that?
I don't think that's very common.
No? Okay.
No, I don't think it is. And the males, of course, you know, they don't hang out at all. So they're gone.
So in Brevard, I mean, the biggest challenges they're facing are is that just traffic and building? Or, I mean, what are the biggest challenges they're facing here in Brevard?
I would say, based on our research, it's definitely roadkill. There are some places that I go to regularly.
No
and
kidding.
There are hot spots. I mean, otters are just killed in that one spot over and over and over again. So roads are definitely an issue for them.
Are there any steps we can take or anything we can do to minimize that?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know if there's too much we can do. I was really surprised by the spots that I do find them in regularly. One of the most common areas that I go to that I've probably picked up between 10 and 12 of those over the last couple years is the southbound ramp onto 95 from Pineda. It's just the entrance ramp. It's not a big, I mean, it goes to a big road, but it's just this little tiny entrance ramp that goes onto the main road. The issue is there's water on both sides.
I was going to say, there's a box culvert on both sides of that, isn't there?
There's water on both sides, yep. And anytime there's water on both sides, that's where you're going to see otters. So I get them near Cruikshank Sanctuary, which if you have been to Cruikshank, you're like, wow, it's really dry there. It's dry. There's two ditches that line the road there, and there's water on both sides. Banana River Drive, water on both sides.
50 then, I assume, is a pretty common one.
50 is very common.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I would say most of the ones I've seen that I've called you about, it's probably most of where they were at. That's two busy ditches and a lot of marsh on both sides, and a deeper ditch on both sides too.
Yeah. Even on people are really surprised, but actually when I leave here I have to go get one on Murrell Drive in Vieira.
Okay.
There's all those, I don't know if they're natural. I think they're probably retention ponds that were built up.
Irritation areas, yes.
Irritation.
That's what me and Billy used to always call them, irritation areas.
There's a lot of water in Vieira.
There is. Everything's connected.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everywhere else. I mean, I guess that would make it very hard. that would be part of what would make it hard to see where their populations are at. Everything's connected now and connected through culverts, and most everything that's culvert is fresh water that's all connected together. So, I mean, where do you, especially if they're in neighborhood areas, where do you go look?
Yeah. I mean, to answer your point, it's like, how do you fix that? I mean, Florida needs more wildlife corridors. Every state needs more wildlife corridors. Where they've been super successful is out west for these large migrating herds of, you know, bison and antelope and even deer and these big massive migrations. We're super excited about those. And we've built some corridors for them, although not as much as we need to. But what I try to think about and tell people about is we have these mini migrations that happen every night, every day. And it's just animals getting from this water source to that water source. You know, those big land crabs.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That come out.
Oh, yeah. I know them well, yes. After, you know, every little sprinkly rain.
It's a mini migration, right?
Yep.
It's not the big grandeur bison things, but it's these are important. You know, salamanders are getting smashed all the time on roads just trying to get, you know, from one little pool to another little pool. So how do you fix that? I don't really know. I mean,
people usually don't like don't care to conserve things that aren't warm and fuzzy, which otters being warm and fuzzy and cute has to be a big pull to everything you guys are doing, because a lot of reptiles and amphibians don't have that.
Yeah,
that's got to be able to find a way to use that too, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have. I used to tell people, you know, just slow your roll, you know, just go slow and look and. I think that's not a bad strategy, but even they've even done studies on roadkill where they've looked at speed limit, and that's not necessarily the issue either. It doesn't matter how slow you go, because you're still going to hit an animal. And doing 35 is similar to doing 70. You might kill them faster, but you're still going to hit them. And a salamander doesn't care if you're doing 35 or 70.
That's true. Yeah, he's going to have a bad day either mm-hmm. way.
Now, let me ask you something about the roadkill thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular time of day?
Yes.
When it's more likely to happen?
Absolutely. Great question. So, yeah, at least for a lot of the animals that are doing these mini migrations, they're going to do it at dawn and dusk, right? That's true for otters. They're moving around in kind of the, you know, darkness in the middle of the night. So if people can be more aware at those times, then that's definitely a thing to think about. I do tell people, like, if, you know, just be aware of your surroundings when you're driving, you know, not just for animals, but for people. But it's easy to, I mean, we've all do it. We zone out and we don't even realize, like, we, you know, got on the ramp to 95. It's like, I just do that every day and you're not thinking. But if you look along the sides of the road, you're going to see stuff that's there. And especially animals that have an eye shine to them, you're going to see a couple of, you know, of those bright eye shines coming back at you. So I tell people just to be aware of their surroundings and sort of, you know, just,
it's nice to be aware when you're driving. Sadly, that is something that most people don't do. Mr. Curtis was yelling at me about this earlier when I he didn't yell at me, he sternly said, Frank, don't text people that you know are driving. 100% right, because you're distracting someone that's driving. And it's every little thing like that that we can take into account and use makes a big difference. I mean, it really does.
Yeah, I have you know, you can do it on your phone where you set it to do not disturb, basically. And, you know, because you've texted me and you'll get my message and it says I'm driving right now. I'll answer your text when I, you know, when I get somewhere where it's safe. And it just automatically goes to tell you that I'm driving.
We could all be better about stuff like that, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You guys got more? Any questions?
I know you've been involved in the past in research as far as disease and toxicology goes in wildlife in the Indian River. Are you seeing any of that in the otters?
Yeah, so one of the reasons that we work on roadkill is because otters, when they die, die naturally, it's going to be very difficult to find them because they're cryptic. And it's the same for, like, cats and dogs. You know, animals that are dying try to find a place to get sort of out of the way. They'll, you know, go to a back bedroom, or they'll hide under the bed if they're not feeling well. Otters are the same way. So they don't die in the open. So the only way we can kind of really figure out what's going on with them is to use the roadkill as a sort of a mini sampling regime. So we don't see otters, we don't know that they're dying of this disease. They died from the Ford or the Chevy, right? But we can see that they were on their way to having a problem by sampling their organs in that instant. And depending on how old they are, we would expect them to have different diseases. So we see a myriad of diseases in them. A lot of them seem to have liver disease. We get pneumonia. They have a lot of parasites. The higher parasite load means, you know, they're sicker. So I look at the amount of fat they have in their body, because that's an indicator if they've been eating well or not. I look at all of their organs. I look at their brain. A lot of times we can't get their brain because it's too damaged from the strike, but otters do carry rabies. So if I get a chance to sample their brain, I'll sample that for rabies too.
Do you see that often?
I've never seen a case of it, but okay. When you see a news report and it's an otter attacking a person, or that's usually because they have rabies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the most interesting thing you found in an otter? You found anything weird?
Otters are not that weird. I find weird stuff in dolphins. The otter is the only thing I'm always interested. I'm constantly looking for evidence of human interaction.
Okay.
And I thought I would find, you know, bullets or things like that in otters, because people do shoot them. And I did find I found a BB bullet, a really small caliber bullet, I guess, in an otter, but it wasn't an issue. It was in his GI tract.
Okay.
So I think he swallowed something that was hit by the BB, maybe a frog or something.
Yeah, or a bird, or who knows.
Yeah, right? He ate something that had the BB in it, and so he had the BB in his stomach. But nothing super weird. They crunch everything that they eat. I mean, they're eating like everything. We have snake parts. We have birds.
Yeah, they got to play serious heck on the banded water snakes, I bet.
Yeah, they love snakes, I think. Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So they chew it so well that it's hard to figure out what's left over. And dolphins, we find golf balls, plastic bags. I found a turkey timer one time.
Mm-hmm. Turkey timer?
Yeah. What else?
Did not expect that.
No, that's I didn't know what it was. Expect, yeah. I don't eat meat, so I thought it was a golf tee at first.
Okay.
And we do get golf balls in them.
Oh, you're talking about the little pop-up
thing.
Yeah,
the little pop-up thing.
Oh,
yeah. I was picturing an...
Yeah, I was thinking, yeah.
Oh, no, the little pop-up thing that... Yeah. It looks like a golf tee, and it does. Thought that's what it was, and then I was going to put it with my golf ball collection. But
has there been that many where you actually have a golf ball collection?
I think we have 3 or 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they all come from around the Cocoa Beach golf course, typically.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of gators out of there that had golf balls in them as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's a common one.
Yeah. They adore combos bags. And who wouldn't? Who doesn't love a good combo?
Interesting.
You're not supposed to eat the bag. You're supposed to just eat the combos.
Yeah, usually, yeah.
Yeah. They're delicious. And let me think. We had one dolphin that had everything in its stomach. It had a piece of a curtain, a t-shirt, a couple of different bags, and it was just, the stomach was like this big and it was full of trash. So
that's bizarre. Mm-hmm. That's bizarre.
I'm sure alligators are worse though.
It's interesting sometimes. Bill used to have a collection of all the stomach contents that he had found. And all the, because that's something he used to enjoy doing, was looking at stomach contents on alligators. He had a whole collection of different things he had found, but I think Aunt Maggie threw that all away. Decided she didn't want him to have that collection anymore.
Oh, man.
Which you can imagine, it was probably pretty amazing, but I can understand why she'd want to get rid of it too. It makes sense.
I don't know.
I it,
They the folks in St. Pete did a dolphin one time, and it had a rubber snake in its stomach. It was like a 6 foot long rubber snake.
That's interesting to think a dolphin would even be intrigued about something like that.
Yeah,
I know they're curious though. They like to put their mouth on things,
they
right?
They do. Yeah. Yeah, and if they're hungry, they'll eat something just to fill their bellies.
Okay.
They just want to feel full, just like we do.
Not judging them.
Yeah. So they'll eat stuff just to kind of fill their belly.
Yeah. That's kind of my jam sometimes too.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of my jam sometimes too. What are the comparisons between our otters and the other species? Are otters smaller than the other ones? Are they, you know, what's the differences and comparisons between them?
So there are 13 species of otters worldwide. 12 of them are endangered or threatened or endangered. The only one that's not is ours, the North American river otter. And
really?
It was depleted very, very badly in the 1800s up until like 1940s. It was almost wiped out.
So they consider it a conservation success?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even though we don't know how many there are?
We don't know how many there are in Florida, but there are other states have done a much better job of their population census. And
okay.
When the animals were almost wiped out, they actually reintroduced them into those states. So
okay.
they've done that through the United States. So
was that captive breeding or how they do that?
I don't think they were captive bred. I think they just moved otters from one place to another.
Okay.
And reestablished them. But in Florida, we don't seem to have had that issue. We didn't have a reintroduction at all. I think otters like Florida because it's so, we have so much water.
Everybody likes Florida.
Yeah.
If you don't like Florida, there's something wrong.
But all the other otters are really in trouble. So there's 12 other species around the world, and they're in pretty bad shape.
What's the main thing affecting all them? Is it hunting and stuff, that, or is it other things?
Habitat loss. Habitat loss and hunting, illegal trade. Those are.
I tell people a lot. You know, this is the same way with crocodilians, that it's hard to tell somebody and their family who is starving that they can't kill and eat that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a hard line to try to have with somebody.
Yeah, I don't think otters taste very well, very good, which is probably helpful. People don't generally eat them. They
okay.
will, there is some traditional medicine associated with them, but they don't really eat them.
Okay.
But they will kill them because they're eating the same fish.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a big problem, is the fishermen don't like them because they're eating the same fish. So
that's rough.
Yeah. And that's a hard one because it's the same thing. You're trying to feed your family and, you know, and here's this predator coming along eating the same stuff that you want to feed your family. So
what is something you could tell us about otters that most people don't know? It's a weird otter fact of some sort.
Oh, because we've already done the poop
right.
dance.
Right.
Well, the poop dance was
weirder
pretty
than
epic.
That, Frank.
Well, just a fact that would kind of go, wow, I didn't expect to hear that.
Well, we think they're nearsighted. So that's one thing.
Okay.
I don't know how weird it is, but it's one reason that they probably are hit by cars, because they're only really seeing what's right in front of them. And it also means if you see one in the wild, they probably aren't going to see you as soon as you're going to see them.
Oh, until they get real close.
Until they get real close. So that's why it's always like good to, if you do see one, to give them a distance, because they, if you're hiking or something and they're coming at you, they'll keep coming at you because they probably don't really see you, but you see them. So it's really your job to get out of the way of them.
They're always doing that weird look around thing too, where they're kind of.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have a clavicle, so they can spin their head all the way around. We can't.
Cindy, we literally talked about this last week. That is
oh.
her major fear. She's a huge fear of birds for the same reason.
Oh, my gosh. You have a clavicle thing?
No, she's afraid of
so.
Birds
I,
because
oh,
they
sure.
can spin their head around.
Yeah. Well, otters, you can't. Normally when you.
and they cuss at her, but that's a whole different story. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, otters do that, too.
I have a whole new bird story for
yeah.
you, if you're wondering, Frank.
Oh, okay. We'll get to that in a minute.
I was going to say, with otters, I mean, with most animals, you can tag them externally. Like, you can put something on them to tag them, to follow them,
okay.
right? Like,
right.
How do you tag an alligator?
We use pit tags like you do a dog or a cat and kind of put it right behind their nuchal scoots.
But what if you wanted to see them from a distance? Like you want to see that alligator over there and you know.
We've tried.
Paint them or something?
Well, if we're doing something to use the same day, we'll use cattle paint and we'll paint the top of their head, the spot that the piece that's above water.
Okay.
They call it cattle paint, but it's actually what's the word I'm looking for? It's like just stuff you rub on that rubs back off.
Okay. Yeah.
That allows you to identify them that day while you're out.
So with otters, they like a marine mammal, we can tag them on their dorsal fin, or if it's a seal, we put these little hats on top of them.
Okay. So those actually have a tracker in them too, you're saying?
Yeah, like a satellite tracker.
Yeah.
But with otters, you can't do that because they can move their head so well that they can take everything off.
Okay.
Like if you put a flipper tag on them, like a seal, they'll rip that out. If you tag them on their side, they can reach that and get them out. So they're kind of like the snapping turtle of the mammal world.
Okay.
So you have to...
The soft shell turtle, yeah.
So you have to put the tracker inside them. You have to do surgery and put it inside. So there's that. That's fun.
Now I understand more what you were asking. On an alligator or a crocodile, you put it on the neck scutes. You can put a satellite transmitter there.
Glue it.
No, actually, you use wires and you go underneath those scutes.
Oh.
You numb it and you go underneath them and you can tie it on there, but... It's almost like adding a kick me sign to an alligator. It's the other ones go attack him and try to rip it off of him.
Exactly.
So especially with the female alligators, the girls are mean to each other. They don't kid around. They'll rip it off other one pretty fast. Doesn't last but a day or two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, really, in a high populated area. So.
Well, with otters, you have to be very careful about their fur because if there's even like a spot of fur loss, they can die from that.
That's so crazy.
So their fur, that's why I think people love them so much. It's so beautiful.
They are.
Because they, excuse me, they have to constantly groom themselves. So if they get it like an open wound or if they get even just like I said, the salt cakes on their, and it exposes the skin underneath the fur, they can die of hypothermia from that. Because their fur is really their protective coat.
Okay.
So you can't mess with their body armor. Fur. Yeah. I thought about like shaving them a little bit to be able to mark them, but I can't do that because it would hurt them. And paint probably would too because they have to be perfectly smooth and beautiful at all times. Like Lady Gaga.
I wonder if you could do something with one of their paws or one of their pads that doesn't have fur on it.
They'll rip it out.
No, that's true. Yeah. Wow.
They'll rip it out.
That's an interesting problem.
Yeah.
That's an interesting problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We even like a collar, like you think about like a collar that you put on animals, you can't do that with
you
them.
You can't go with implanted transmitters either?
We can do implanted transmitters, but then you have to catch them and put them under anesthesia and all that stuff, and I don't...
Yeah, how do you leave a trap out for an otter? How in the world do you go about trapping an otter?
I guess I don't want to say too much about
right,
it.
Right, yeah, I gotcha. But it is
yeah,
doable.
It's doable, but again...
You're holding.
It's one thing to get them in the trap. It's another thing to anesthetize them and then do surgery.
A big, powerful animal looking to grab hold of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That doesn't sound like fun. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but what do you do?
Well,
powerful animal.
No, it's a big, powerful animal. I understand. If I don't understand it, it could twist its head into 360 degrees.
Yeah, alligators can't do that.
It doesn't sound like.
Yeah, just duct tape their mouths, right? But with otters, you can't really do that.
It doesn't exactly. It's.
They will come after you.
On TV, it works that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. On TV, it works that way.
Oh.
Yeah. TV in real life. That's a conversation that I'm sure you guys have to deal with all the time. There's things that happen on TV that people think are the gospel truth of the way that everything in wildlife works, which is not the case. Entertainment and real life are two different animals. I'm preaching to the choir, I know.
Yeah, but nobody wants to watch a show. Right?
That's true. They'd rather watch the craziness and go, that's the coolest thing I ever seen. Look at that guy. He's out of his mind.
We should do a show. We could do a show, you and me. Nobody would watch it.
That's true, because it'd be too much realism.
I would watch it.
It'd be boring and a lot of poop.
There, I have been.
Don't forget the dancing.
Yeah. I dare to say I've been pooped on, peed on, and puked on by more alligators than, probably anybody could imagine.
They puke on you?
Oh, sure. It's part of it.
Oh.
Yeah. I've never puked on one of them, but they puked on me plenty of times.
Do you sample it then? Are you excited?
No, it's usually stuff that you're happy to wash off. Yes.
Oh. I'd be scooping that up and putting it in a tube.
No.
Might be some good stuff in there.
You can usually tell what it is.
Have you ever seen an otter and a dolphin in a alligator stomach? Tell me the truth.
I've caught a couple of gators holding otters. I remember you sent me a picture one time of one that had been killed that you were asking me if those were alligator bites on it. I'm like, 100%, those are alligator holes. Yeah,
yeah, that was really helpful because I've only had 3 or 4 that have, quote, died naturally. And that was one of them.
That's supposed to be one of an alligator's favorite foods, but you imagine the work they won't have to put in to go catch an otter. Mm-hmm. That'd be a lot of work to put in for a big alligator. That'd be a lot of energy to burn. That otter must have been really ticking him off to make him go do that.
Yeah, they're not passive prey. They're going to fight back.
Yep, and they're quick too. I mean, they're not just going to lay there. They're quick. I'm sure they're moving mm-hmm. nonstop.
Well, it didn't even eat the whole otter. It only ate half of it. So
I remember it well.
Yeah, I probably
we share some pretty awesome pictures. Yeah, that's all I know.
Yeah.
So, I got a little bit of trivia we're going to get into here in a second. A little bit of otter trivia. But before I forget about it, I want to hear what your crazy bird story is, since I brought it up.
Yeah.
So last week, Cindy was telling us how, as a kid, we were talking about our favorite TV series of all times, and I got into how I liked some old school, different little spooky things, and she started talking about how she likes it was Bones. Bones is what you brought up, and different things dying, and I brought up Alfred Hitchcock, and she said she was terrified of birds. Because a bird as a kid that was owned by one of her friends used to attack her. And then while it was attacking her, it would curse at her.
It was a parrot.
Yes.
And it knew some colorful phrases that it would yell while it was biting you.
Which does not sound like fun. I mean, that doesn't sound fun.
And now when I picture big birds, I picture it being able to spin its head.
Big birds or big bird.
Yes. Just biting me, screaming that phrase.
Big bird is terrifying. As a kid, I used to have nightmares about big bird. That's a crazy...
Rightfully so.
A giant yellow bird.
That, big yellow bird.
I do not want to see him in an alley even today somewhere. Like, no. Me and Big Bird are going to have words. Like, I don't want to... I'm going to turn around and walk the other way, like, quickly. Yeah. So tell us your bird story. Sorry, Big Bird.
That next day, I'm, like, feeling bad that I was bashing birds publicly. And I'm like, oh, they're beautiful. They're innocent. Like, what... I'm standing in my kitchen looking out my back door at my koi pond, noticing this... beautiful, beautiful, huge, I guess it was a heron. I don't know. I don't know birds. Beautiful thing. And I'm like, see, look, it really is. It's magical. It's beautiful. And then I swear it turned its eye and winked at me. And I look and it's got my biggest pregnant, beautiful koi fish in its mouth. And I swear it just kind of nodded. And I'm like crying like, no. And I'm like, what? I can't, what am I? It, the thing is like half my size. I can't, like, what am I going to do? Fight it? Like, I can't. Mm-hmm. And I'm like going out there like, please no, like stop. And of course that didn't work.
You're trying to reason with a bird.
So then I'm like crying and I'm like pleading.
He knew.
And then he's just staring at me like, I do not care about you. Like, aww. I'm like, what can I do? I can't touch it. I can't take the fish away. Like clearly, I mean, the fish is clearly not going. I'm like, okay,
was he holding the fish or had he impaled the fish?
Yeah. That one, it was impaled. It was. So he flies away and I'm like, okay, well, I lost a fish. Not 5 minutes later, he's back. Mm-hmm. And then I'm mad. So I'm like running out there like, no. And I'm like screaming and like flapping my arms like that's going to make it go away.
You're flapping your wings at him.
I'm like, I can't say what I was yelling, but I'm like yelling, this is not a buffet.
Was it anything similar to what the parrot was yelling?
It was. This is not a buffet, and that phrase, and yeah, and all I'm like afterwards, all I'm picturing is my neighbors who can't see me through the privacy fence. I don't know what they thought was going on that I'm screaming about a buffet, but he ate every fish out of that pond. Mm-hmm. I have had that pond for 6 years, never nothing.
And you then found the honey hole.
I get on my backyard pond group, because that's a thing on Facebook. That
there's a backyard pond group.
I'm not cool, Frank. I don't know why you thought it was.
No, it sounds pretty neat.
But I'm like, yeah, and everyone's cool. Like, yeah, that's like a whole thing. You have to protect your pond from. How did you not know this? And I'm like, six years. I made it 6 years.
So how do the other people who are so smart apparently?
I'm glad you asked.
How do they protect their ponds from blue herons?
So I just ordered
a blue heron. Oh my garage, I said it. A blue heron. Because I've had that before. People say, yeah, I live on Blue Heroin Drive. Like,
blue heroin?
You should not ever say that ever again. Yes. Sorry, go ahead. I got carried away.
I ordered a fake floating alligator.
Oh, genius.
I thought of you when I ordered it. I don't know if it's going to work. We'll find out.
Well, are there any koi in there right now for him to come back for?
No, I kind of wanted the decoys to come first.
Mm-hmm. You're getting decoy koi?
Well, no, decoy, the alligator.
The alligator, and I ordered an owl. Because, I'm going to terrify one terrifying bird with another terrifying bird, but supposedly that works.
I do have a friend that has a koi pond, and she has a statue of a blue heron on her pond, which keeps other blue herons from coming by it, because she lives on a big lake, and it works somehow.
Yeah, blue herons are territorial, so they won't, if there's one there.
That would be the jam. Mm-hmm. You can get big things of blue herons, and that would probably work. I would do that before I get anything else.
Because, there's no point in putting fish back in it now because he does not care about me at all. He was not afraid of me. He was looking at me like, you can't touch me. What are you going to, what are you going to do? Nothing. I'm going to sit here and cry and plead with you.
Wow.
And then I no longer felt bad for trash talking birds the day before because, see,
that's right.
They're awful.
That's right. They're awful.
They're awful. That's dramatic.
Yeah.
That's a story.
I walk back in and my daughter's just staring at me, shaking her head. I'm like, what? And she's like, nothing. Nothing.
She has nothing to say. She didn't do anything about it either.
No, she stood there, I'm pretty sure, Snapchatting me and looking like a crazy psychopath. I have no idea.
That would get a million views all on its own. Look, my mom's out in the backyard waving her wings at the bird. Yeah, and yelling profanities at it.
She's like, just a question. The arms, what was that supposed to do? I don't know. Make me look like a bigger bird? I don't know.
Everything at that point does seem reasonable. Wow. Wow. Mr. Curtis, you have anything close to that? Because that was pretty epic.
No, I have no terrifying bird stories.
Did you play dominoes over the weekend?
No, I did not.
Okay. I'm looking forward to a domino story. Okay. What did your mom think about the domino story? Did she see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she saw it.
Did she have comments?
Oh, yeah. She said she would gladly share the tally of the games.
Did she argue about who the best dominoes person was?
Oh, no. She knows I'm winning.
Oh, she admitted it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She said 100%.
I got more. And my father is second. She's third. She's, so.
So something I meant to ask you, do you guys have a special domino set or do you play with the normal white dominoes or do you play with special ones?
No, they're the white dominoes. It's a normal set, but they have a special table thing for it. It's only used for dominoes
and nothing else.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then they put it away. And when I go by the house, they bring it out and we play dominoes.
Interesting.
It's a big thing.
Do you have a game of choice? You have a board game or something you enjoy playing?
We have all the board games.
Really?
Yeah. My kids love board games.
What's the favorite in the household?
I like Clue.
I just recently played Clue for the first time.
Yeah. What?
My friend Chris, her daughters, they're really big into Clue. I had never played Clue before. I've always seen it and heard about it, and I never realized what a cool game it is. It's epic. Man,
it's forensics.
You're right. It's amazing. Yeah, it's my new favorite game. I'm happy to admit that.
And they have all different versions. So like you can have Clue that's related to the ocean, or Clue that's related to Star Trek, or
what?
Clue. Yeah.
Like Scrabble, there's different versions.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Monopoly. Mm-hmm. Monopoly's got a lot of versions too.
Yeah, Monopoly's a good one too, but I always lose because I don't. It's way too long.
Oh, see, I just start
it's
making.
Forever.
I make backdoor deals nonstop, and then get everybody's stuff and go, "Hey, I'm sorry you lost."
Oh, see, I just go, I don't care. I don't need money. Take all my properties. I'm not that invested in this. Just take it. I just want to go to bed.
Okay.
Things all right. change as you get older.
Yeah.
Your philosophy
you have
about
different
board
priorities,
games.
Yes.
I was competitive, and then I somehow got more competitive. If I make a kid cry, it's all part of it.
It's because you don't have children. There's Boardwalk, and then there's sleep.
Yeah.
Which one do you want?
We used to play Risk as a high school kid.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
I never
that was
played the
all
board game,
night.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know? I mean, that was
for a
serious
long time.
All night long. But now, if it's not over, I mean, Chutes and Ladders, you're done in 20 minutes. So that's good.
Chutes and Ladders or Snakes and Ladders?
I play my grandchildren. They want to play War. They're young. And
war's
so
always,
they understand.
War's always a win.
They understand War. They understand how to play. And I had to explain to my son, I said, you know that I cheat. And he said, what do you mean you cheat? I said, oh, yeah, I cheat because I cheat so that I lose. And I give them the aces every time I can. I slide them an ace. And they, so all of a sudden, you know, in like 10 minutes, a game of war, and they win because I'm giving them every card I can. Because, you know, then the game's over. Because otherwise, a game like that, a war, you just go
back
and
forth. Yeah, that's forever.
It would last a long, long time. And, you know, I just, I'm
so
happy.
See, I was thinking that was the purpose. Always thinking that was the purpose. Make it last a long time so they're distracted with that and not going crazy with something else.
Plus, they get to win. They like to win.
That doesn't do any good for them.
My daughter, no slack.
Yeah, so it doesn't do any good for them.
But
winning.
See, that's the difference between your children and your grandchildren. I would never do that with my children. My grandchildren, oh, they can win. They can win. I'll let them win.
Are you agreeing with all this?
Yeah, we had this discussion before my kids were born. There was a whole discussion about children. And one of them was, are you going to let them win? And my husband's into chess.
Okay.
And he was like, absolutely not. I will never let the children win. And he hasn't.
I can see your husband saying that.
He hasn't. He will fight them to the death and will not give in at all. But we don't have grandchildren yet, so I'm sure it'll change. Yeah, he's always been like that. You know, he'll let them do. He's super tolerant and probably spoils them in every other way, but he won't let them win at chess since the time they were three.
Super competitive in the chess.
Yeah,
you
can cry, throw yourself on the ground. He will comfort you, but he will not let you win.
I respect that. I completely respect that. Like no mercy. Yeah, if you make the kid cry, then all that.
It's chess.
Yeah, it's all that much better if you make him cry. Okay, wow, that was a good. Okay, let's do a little bit of otter trivia. So, this is otters in commercials trivia. So if you've seen any commercials recently, these commercials were on TV over the past month. So
no way.
Yeah, and they all had otters in them. So
what?
Yep, pretty epic. If you hear them, you'll go, yeah, okay, I saw that. Number one, this food chain had an otter in its commercial with the song Secure the Bag by DJ Khaled?
Khaled. DJ Khaled.
Khaled?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea who that is. I don't think I've even ever heard the song, but it's DJ somebody. This food chain had an otter in its commercial with the song Secure the Bag.
What?
It's a fast food chain.
You sure it was an otter?
100%. It's an otter. I went back and watched it to make sure.
Secure the bag.
I have no idea.
It's about a $5 bag if you get this $5 bag.
Wendy's.
It is Wendy's.
All right.
What?
Indeed. Yep. And look it up. I 100% promise.
And the otter spotter lady didn't spot it.
I
she
don't
did
watch
not
TV.
Spot it. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be
hard. You got to check this. You got to check that one out for sure. I'll send it to you. Number two, this commercial features an otter and some ducks with a version of Lean on Me.
I love that
And
song.
It cleans more than just dishes.
What?
It was a commercial for...
Oh, for Dawn?
For Dawn.
Dawn. That makes sense. That makes sense.
It was an otter
sense.
And some ducks after an oil spill, and
okay.
the Dawn must clean them all up.
It was a sea
up.
Otter. Yeah.
Yep.
That
sea
makes
otter.
Sense.
Yep.
Okay. That's cool, though.
Number three. This commercial has otters talking about saving money, switching phone providers, and doing sit-ups. He goes, $1,099, $1,200, and finishes with a song by Usher.
What?
And there's this commercial about this phone provider has like a whole series of commercials with otters in it. They all have otters.
What?
Yep.
I don't know, but I need them to fund my research.
you legit should talk to them.
Every commercial they have here recently,
they have at least a dozen, if not more, commercials that are all otters.
Okay, so who is it? Who do I need to write to?
T-Mobile.
T-Mobile. Hey. Just wondering.
T-Mobile, if you're looking for sponsoring somebody, here you go, right here.
Yeah, T-Mobile and otters. Was it what kind of otter was that?
They were sea otters.
That's
they were laying on their back floating around. Which do any other otters do that? But other, besides
no,
sea otters,
no, it's just them. They're the prima donnas.
They're
the
ones that hold hands and stuff. And
they hold hands.
Everybody
hates them.
They never get invited to the good parties.
Are there different species of otters that hang out in the same areas? Mm. Are there any overlapping otter species?
Sea otters and river otters in California will overlap. But
I was wondering, that was one I'd forgot about when you were saying they were prima donnas of otters.
Yeah, everybody knows about sea otters, but nobody cares about the rest of us.
Oh, I think river otters are awesome. Number four, This commercial is actually, again, a series of commercials, has Peyton Manning in a backpack being carried around by a giant otter.
What?
And it
what?
Says it's unapologetically overprotective.
What TV are you watching?
No, it's hysterical. It's like a whole series of commercials. They all have Peyton Manning starring in them, and it's a giant otter.
What?
It's like it has Peyton Manning in a backpack, and he's carrying him around, and it says unapologetically overprotective. If you know this one in there in the room, by all means, put the mic on and yell it.
He can't get to the mic.
No.
But of course he doesn't know it because it doesn't. Okay, go ahead. Tell me what it is.
It's a commercial for the OtterBox
that covers your phone. Way.
OtterBox. Okay.
Yeah. No, if you haven't seen that one is flipping cool too.
I need to see
too.
That one. That's scary though.
I'm gonna do some Google searching
not,
here.
It's not. It's a like a makeup of an otter. You know what I mean? It's a.
Oh.
It's not really. It's like a animatronic otter or something. He's not stuffed. He's not. It's like a giant Muppet otter or something.
Because there's a myth about otters in Canada. It's like a half man, half otter. It's
this is pretty much what this thing is.
Like a Bigfoot, but an otter version of it.
Say, and what do they call this?
Now
this is a whole new
it
trivia.
It starts with a K. I can't remember now. But yeah, it's like the Bigfoot, but it hurts.
If you guys know what the giant otter person in Canada is, please let us know. We want to know the answer to that. I'm not going to look that up. I'm expecting somebody to put a comment on there telling me what this is. Number five.
There's
so
more?
Yes, OtterBox.
This is
the last one. There was actually a couple dozen, and these are like the five I picked out.
Wow.
Because I thought they were pretty much the funny. Those are the ones I like spent all night chuckling very hard about. Number five. This state has a tourism commercial with an otter puppet, which is the goofiest looking otter puppet you've ever seen, with a fishing rod. I'm sorry, your commercial's not that goofy. Yeah, it kind of is. let me start over. This state has a tourism commercial with an otter puppet with a fishing rod and a hat and says, find your inner otter. And they keep continually talks about Otter County.
Otter County. There's an Otter Tail County that I get Google alerts from.
Yeah. This state has a tourism commercial.
Pennsylvania.
With an otter puppet with a fishing rod and a hat and says, find your inner otter. Explore this state.
Have no idea.
You want to take a guess?
Go ahead.
I don't even know where otters are found other than Florida.
Are they found in pretty much every state?
Not in the driest, like the flyover states, they say. Okay. You know, it's got to have water.
It's Minnesota.
Oh. Yeah, I never would have guessed
Thousand
that.
Lakes.
Yep, Thousand Lakes. Makes sense.
Yep.
So anyhow, I want to say a special thanks again last week to Stel for being on with us. I noticed when the podcast got over last week, I forgot to tell her thank you. So thank you, Stel, for being on here. I want to tell you thank you so much for being on here. If people want to go and find out more about the Otter Spotters, where do they go?
So we're on Facebook at IRL Otter Spotters, and you can look us up on our website, Hub SeaWorld Research Institute.
And if they want to help as far as the things you need people to let you guys know when they see otters,
mm-hmm.
and yep. when if they find one that happens to be road hit, that they should get on there and let you guys know.
Yep, those two things, and just be aware of them, you know, just be careful around them so that they don't become a nuisance and get in trouble and get hurt. So
okay, or do what Cindy's bird did and
or
take everything,
eat all the koi.
You don't want any poop dances in your back porch apparently.
Yeah, there are ways to get to deal with nuisance wildlife in a good way. So
correct.
If you ever have an issue with wildlife,
if
and there's time, if
it involves you hurting it, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, then exactly, you're doing the good thing and thinking of ways to prevent them from even getting there. So that's the idea, right?
Yep, Bill, thank you a bunch.
Oh, happy to do it.
Thank you,
Cindy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, studio crew. You guys are awesome. Terrier TV, appreciate you. Yay. And we'll catch you all next week. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.